Today on VFN TV, the Jews and the Christians are being attacked and they're being knifed in Israel. Listen, it's getting there and persecution's on the rise and getting worse. But we're going to be talking about the answer today and what we can do in this crucial moment in our lifespan. Join us today.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. But we're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world. One based on mutual interest and mutual respect. And one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America's in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. It went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful, is pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this, if God's on your side, you're on the majority side, no matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me, and when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate this city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Molech, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you've got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which will be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let America know God is not through with America. Revival! Revival!
With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few is Steve Kolaszewski. We want to thank you for joining us today, wherever you're watching VFN TV, at home or with your mobile device. But we're going to be talking today about the persecution that's on the rise in Israel and Christians. And right now you've been watching on your screens what is taking place. I mean, Jews in Israel are being knifed. They're being stabbed. They're being run over and chopped with machetes. What's going on? This is a definitely parental guidance suggested program, because you're going to be seeing some scenes that are quite disturbing. And we got to ask ourselves, we've got to shake ourselves. What is going on? Here we are. I mean, the fourth blood moon has already passed, and we're seeing an increase, an escalation of attacks on Jews. And it all started with a lie. That, you know, the Jews were trying to take down the Al-Aqsa Mosque, is one of the Muslim sacred ground, and it's just a lie. And this typically and historically has riled up so many Muslims at unity against the Jews, and they're stabbing them. They're teaching children, how to stab a Jew, and yet there is silence. You're not hearing any outcry. And it's important for us as Christians to really be aware and to be alert and to allow God to touch us in such a way that we can move with empathy. We're going to be talking about a lot about that in this program. But our government's response is basically that both sides need to tamper down the violence. Well, excuse me, if you're being attacked and knifed, if your citizens are being attacked, or if you're the one being attacked, you want someone to respond with whatever force is necessary to get that attacker to stop attacking you. And so the narrative is being painted that Israel has done something to provoke whoever to stab their citizens. That's foolishness. But yet so many people are believing the lie. And that's what's important for us on this network, to stand with Israel publicly, prayerfully, in all ways, prayerfully, so that we can make sure that the truth goes out. I want you to watch a special Jerusalem Dateline report on exactly what has been happening so that you can be informed. We'll talk more about this when we get back. Watch this.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Jerusalem Dateline. I'm Chris Mitchell. It's been a deadly time here in Jerusalem and throughout Israel as a wave of Palestinian terror attacks have spread throughout the land. Palestinian Arabs committed at least 3 more terror attacks, 2 in Jerusalem and another in central Israel.
What took place here in Amon HaNatziv, in a relatively quiet neighborhood, 2 terrorists carried out an attack on a bus. One of them was armed with a pistol, the second one with a knife. They injured 5 Israelis. What we confirmed is that our police units that arrived at the scene shot and killed one of the terrorists. The second terrorist was apprehended.
Aaron Adler arrived on the scene as one of the first responders.
When I arrived on scene, there was actually still shooting on the scene. We found the bus here behind us with multiple gunshot wound victims inside the bus. together with other crews, we pulled them out and started life-saving treatments, whatever we could do to try saving their lives.
Jerusalem's mayor, Nir Barkat, blames Palestinian incitement. Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas began the incitement last month when he said the Al-Aqsa Mosque was in danger and that the Israeli government was changing the status quo on the Temple Mount.
Which is not true, which is a lie. It's just a filthy lie. However, the residents, some of the residents believe those lies. And those incitements are sending people to kill innocent people. We've just seen in the last few days children, high school children that are incited, that go and try and terrorize and kill policemen. They don't return home. They themselves get killed. The incitement kills on both sides.
Some Israelis are concerned they're on the verge of a third Palestinian intifada, a word that means uprising. The first took place in the late 80s and early 90s, and the second took place from 2000 to 2004. The latest wave of violence has shaken Israelis.
We are terrified, and the world thinks that we are not justice with the Arabs. This is not true. They have ID like I do, and they kill us.
It's hard. It's it's not a good situation, but we do what we can. We believe in what we do, and we know that we know the purpose behind it. We understand the calling.
Jerusalem's mayor said this wave of violence is a wake-up call for the nations.
Now, the experience we're going through here in our city will haunt the rest of the world in a few years from now. You have to understand that terrorism, this kind of terrorism, is not just a Jerusalem problem. It's not just an Israeli problem. It's an international problem. And if you don't understand and support us in fighting terrorism here, next phase will happen everywhere else in the world.
It's hard sometimes for Israelis to walk down the street or wait at a bus stop without fearing a Palestinian terror attack. Here's the latest on the situation.
A Palestinian posing as a photojournalist, wearing a safety vest and carrying equipment, stabbed an Israeli soldier. He was shot and killed. The incident was caught live by a Hamas TV crew. Ahead of the day of rage, rioting Palestinians burned the tomb of the biblical patriarch Joseph in Nablus. In a surprise move, Palestinian Authority Chairman Mahmoud Abbas condemned the arson attack. Foreign Ministry Director General Dori Gold said it was similar to the actions of extremist Muslim groups from Afghanistan to Libya. Days of rage usually include Palestinian rioting and confrontation with Israeli troops at flashpoints in Judea and Samaria or the West Bank. But this one comes during a spate of terror that Israel hasn't seen for a long time. Prime Minister Netanyahu told journalists that incitement is behind the current wave of terrorism and violence.
First on the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the outrageous claims that we are changing the status quo there or intend to destroy it. And now we have a new big lie. That new big lie is that Israel is executing Palestinians.
Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas accused Israel of executing what he called an innocent Palestinian boy. That boy stabbed an Israeli boy his own age earlier this week.
First of all, he's not dead. He's alive. This Palestinian terrorist is now being treated in Hadassah Hospital in Israel.
As for Al-Aqsa Mosque on the Temple Mount, Israel says, as always, only Muslims are allowed to pray there. Christians and Jews have limited access and no prayer allowed. Netanyahu said the trouble doesn't have anything to do with whether or not there are peace talks.
They're attacking us not because they want peace or don't want peace, it's because they don't want us here.
Tension in Israel is palpable. Many Israelis are staying away from public places. Others aren't giving in.
I've never seen a time like this before in my entire life. I've heard about it when I was a kid, about second to father, but I never heard it. I never felt this way.
You know, when I see something on Facebook, it hurts inside to see it. And, you know, I feel bad, and I hope that anyone who gets injured is healed fast.
Yeah, it is sometimes it's scary to walk around, but it's not that scary because I know I believe in God, and I know he's going to help us.
Julie Stahl, CBN News, Jerusalem.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry says he's heading to the region to mitigate the wave of Palestinian terror and Israeli countermeasures that are sweeping the area. Meanwhile, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas is increasing his incitement against the Jewish state.
Israel says decades of incitement against Jews in Israel are behind Palestinian rage that's fueling the current wave of terrorism.
Security here in Jerusalem is extremely tight. The government deployed more Israeli border police along with Jerusalem police to block entrances to Jerusalem's Arab neighborhoods like this one called Jabu Mokaber, where a number of the attackers came from.
We hear again and again the slogan, Itbach el Yehud, kill the Jews, knife the Jews, death to the Jews, in the name of Allah, in the name of defending Islam, in the name of defending the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
In a televised speech on Wednesday, Abbas accused Israel of increasing what he called its aggressive offensive against Palestinians and holy sites.
What sends young people out with butcher knives to attack Israelis, this phenomenon is that it emanates from incitement, and particularly religious incitement. Incitement around the false accusation that Israel seeks to change the status quo on the Temple Mount.
Israel was hoping Abbas would use his speech to calm the situation, but instead he didn't condemn the current wave of terror, nor call for a halt to attacks. He charged Israel with what he called field executions and said two teens who carried out a stabbing attack of an Israeli teenager early this week were martyrs. Their parents said they went to buy candy, but this security camera footage clearly shows the boys brandishing knives. One of the teens was killed as he tried to attack a policeman, but the other is alive and receiving treatment in an Israeli hospital. Yet Abbas said he was dead. Foreign Minister Director General Dori Gold pointed out that Abbas has been stoking the fire.
No less than Mahmoud Abbas made the famous comment on September 16th of this year, "We welcome every drop of blood spilled in Jerusalem. They, Israelis, have no right to desecrate the Al-Aqsa Mosque with their filthy feet." What is this?
Social media is also helping to spread incitement and lies to the younger generation, like this Hamas video that shows how to stab a Jew. On Wednesday, a Palestinian tried to stab a police officer at the Damascus Gate of the Old City. A television crew caught his attempted escape on film as he was shot and killed by security forces. A short time later, another terrorist stabbed a woman in her 70s at Jerusalem's central bus station. She managed to board the bus. The terrorist was shot and killed. Israelis are bracing themselves for Friday, when Palestinians have called for another day of rage. And for now, the terror shows no signs of abating. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, near Jabu Mokaber, Jerusalem.
Adolf Hitler said, I believe this was quoted to Adolf Hitler, "If you tell a lie loud enough and long enough, people will accept it as truth." This is, people are dying and they're being stabbed in the streets of Israel over a lie. Think about this. And the lies that they were, you know, desecrating a holy ground, which they're not. But let's just say that they did. Do we respond? Is the right response to go stabbing and killing people? I mean, imagine that if it, at your local church someone ripped down a cross, would anyone advocate, let's go attack that person and stab that person because they ripped down a structure? I mean, think about this. It's lunacy, yet the world is silent. If this same activity occurred in Germany, if this same activity occurred in England or in France or in Spain, in Latin America, on the continent of Africa, would there not be an outcry of citizens everywhere saying, what is going on? Yet the world says nothing when Jews are being stabbed and killed over a lie. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk more about this Middle East conflict and what is this all about. You don't want to miss it. Join us back in a few.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to say this, you know, I want to thank all of our VFN TV partners who stand with us.
Yes.
And it's amazing how we're standing together mm-hmm. to be able to do this. And we have so many things as just as a thank you for our, you know, your partnership. As mm-hmm. you know, we have an entire partnership area, you know,
yeah,
in regards to
very exciting.
What's available there. But today, as a matter of fact, this right now we have an offer for our VFN TV partnerships of a free gift for you for those that partner today. It is a weapon of peace. And you think about it. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Mm. Trust in God. Think
Trust
about this.
God.
That all these things that we're hearing as believers, you know, we can have peace. I mean, you look at this guy right here. I mean, you look at him kicked back and relaxed in the and this is how we should be. This is exactly how we should be. And if we don't have that peace, it's like I have what the world has
mm-hmm.
because he gives us this peace. And so I want to encourage you. We have that available for you right now. You can call. You can go online at VFNTV.com as you're seeing right here. You can call, go online at VFNTV.com, a partner now, or you can go till you see the mailing address. You can even mail in your
That's
gift,
right.
a gift of any size whatsoever. And this gift's available for you in DVD or CD. You request it.
And as a partner,
that is amazing.
You want to get this because you may be able to yeah. share this with somebody else. Today, so many people are struggling with anxiety and stresses and fears.
Right.
And there's nothing like the peace of God.
Right.
And you can introduce them to the Prince of Peace. So please get this, be a part, and share it with a friend.
And it's a weapon. You think about it. You know, somebody's breaking into your house. You grab a bat, you grab a gun, you grab something to protect mm-hmm. yourself. Well, here we are, and all these things taking place in the world right now. He's left us the weapon of peace. He tells us to have our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Where we're walking and what we're doing, you've got to have this peace. And this is a message that's going to really encourage you. Just want to give it to you for your partnership of any amount. Like I said, go to VFNTV.com. You can call or you can write. And join the many partners that are keeping us going. And mm-hmm. we want to keep the light shining all the way around the nation.
That's right.
And around the world.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Thank you for joining us. I mean, we just finished watching an update on what really is taking place in Israel. And it's important, you know, what we say, it's not enough just to know the news, but you got to know what to do with the news you know. You know, Steve?
Oh, yeah.
There's so many lies that are going out right now. And you want to be informed. I mean, today people want their news quick. They want it fast. But you want to get the right news. Mm-hmm. You want to get the correct truth of what's actually happening and going on. And it just, you know, I think about what's happening. And I think, Steve, you know, if this happened in any other country, any place in the world, there would be such a huge outcry.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there's a deafening silence, and it reminds me of the 45 seconds that Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, stood and watched and eyeballed every leader from around the world for 45 seconds without saying a word in response to what's happening with this Iranian deal. And you think about the Israelis, I mean, they're in a continual state of attack,
mm-hmm.
lie. Their lives are threatened. It's a continual stress, if you mm-hmm. will. Can you imagine every single day getting up, sending your children to school, going to work, and wondering if you were going to survive that day, if somehow you were going to be lied to or attacked physically and dead? And these are the things that we can see. How many of these subtle attacks that are not physical, mm-hmm. but they're happening all the time? Anti-Semitism is racism towards the Jews. Imagine all of that that's happening. If you're willing to deny the fact that someone is killing our people over lies, and this is you can clearly see, and you have video of them inciting mm-hmm. people to do this, this doesn't take rocket science, right?
No matter what the Israelis do, they have somebody coming against them, twisting them. They're going to show a snippet and just...
This is the obvious stuff. The obvious
it.
Stuff.
Absolutely.
The obvious stuff they deny. Imagine... Mm-hmm. all the anti-Semitism rhetoric and things that happen behind the scenes mm-hmm. that people quickly, you know, overlook. I want you to see this segment from Prager University as Prager really breaks down the Middle East conflict, the Palestinian problem here, and what it's really all about.
Because a lot of times people get lost in the news cycle and all these narratives going on that they really don't know clearly what is happening over there. Why do they keep fighting? And it doesn't seem normal. You got to think, why would someone pick up a knife and just stab you over? Surely you've had to do something wrong. This is how evil lies are. It incites people who become brainwashed, and they actually think that the evil that they're doing is right when they're actually dead wrong. It's called deception. Watch this.
When I did my graduate studies at the Middle East Institute at Columbia University's School of International Affairs, I took many courses on the question of the Middle East conflict. Semester after semester, we studied the Middle East conflict as if it was the most complex conflict in the world, when in fact, it is probably the easiest conflict in the world to explain. It may be the hardest to solve, but it is the easiest to explain. In a nutshell, it's this. One side wants the other side dead. Israel wants to exist as a Jewish state and to live in peace. Israel also recognizes the right of Palestinians to have their own state and to live in peace. The problem, however, is that most Palestinians and many other Muslims and Arabs do not recognize the right of the Jewish state of Israel to exist. This has been true since 1947, when the United Nations voted to divide the land called Palestine into a Jewish state and an Arab state. The Jews accepted the United Nations partition, but no Arab or any other Muslim country accepted it. When British rule ended on May 15, 1948, the armies of all the neighboring Arab states, Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Transjordan, and Egypt, attacked the one-day-old state of Israel in order to destroy it. But to the world's surprise, the little Jewish state survived. Then it happened again. In 1967, the dictator of Egypt, Gamal Abdel Nasser, announced his plan, in his words, to destroy Israel. He placed Egyptian troops on Israel's border, and armies of surrounding Arab countries were also mobilized to attack. However, Israel preemptively attacked Egypt and Syria. Israel did not attack Jordan and begged Jordan's king not to join the war. But he did. And only because of that did Israel take control of Jordanian land, specifically the West Bank of the Jordan River. Shortly after the war, the Arab states went to Khartoum, Sudan, and announced their famous three no's. No recognition, no peace, and no negotiations. What was Israel supposed to do? Well, one thing Israel did a little more than a decade later in 1978 was to give the entire Sinai Peninsula, an area of land bigger than Israel itself and with oil, back to Egypt because Egypt, under new leadership, signed a peace agreement with Israel. So Israel gave land for the promise of peace with Egypt, and it has always been willing to do the same thing with the Palestinians. All the Palestinians have ever had to do is recognize Israel as a Jewish state and promise to live in peace with it. But when Israel has proposed trading land for peace, as it did in 2000, when it agreed to give the Palestinians a sovereign state in more than 95% of the West Bank and all of Gaza, the Palestinian leadership rejected the offer and instead responded by sending waves of suicide terrorists into Israel. Meanwhile, Palestinian radio, television, and school curricula remain filled with glorification of terrorists, demonization of Jews, and the daily repeated message that Israel should cease to exist. So it's not hard to explain the Middle East dispute. One side wants the other dead. The motto of Hamas, the Palestinian rulers of Gaza, is, "We love death as much as the Jews love life." There are 22 Arab states in the world, stretching from the Atlantic Ocean to the Indian Ocean. There is one Jewish state in the world, and it is about the size of New Jersey. In fact, tiny El Salvador is larger than Israel. Finally, think about these two questions. If tomorrow Israel laid down its arms and announced, "We will fight no more," what would happen? And if the Arab countries around Israel laid down their arms and announced, "We will fight no more," what would happen? In the first case, there would be an immediate destruction of the state of Israel and mass murder of its Jewish population. In the second case, there would be peace the next day. As I said at the outset, it is a simple problem to describe. One side wants the other dead. And if it didn't, there would be peace. Please remember this. There has never been a state in the geographic area known as Palestine that was not Jewish. Israel is the third Jewish state to exist in that area. There was never an Arab state, never a Palestinian state, never a Muslim or any other state. That's the issue. Why can't the one Jewish state the size of El Salvador be allowed to exist? That is the Middle East problem. I'm Dennis Prager.
When we get back from this break, we're going to talk about, are we possibly seeing a third intifada? And did our Secretary of State, John Kerry, actually predict this back in 2013? More when we get right back from this break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. As a supervisor in the workplace, can I pray with a coworker? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I'm a supervisor in an office, and I was recently told that I cannot express my opinion in any way in matters regarding faith or religion or politics. I was also counseled that I cannot pray with staff members in or out of the office, you know, if they approach me.
Well, the idea that your workplace would be a religious free zone is just absolutely incorrect. And a Bible study or praying with another employee, as long as it's not disruptive to the workplace, that is really what the biggest issue is. We've got great resources, by the way, available on our website at aclj.org. And I'll tell you what I'll do. You hang on the line here, Kim. I'm going to get you in touch with our legal staff at the American Center for Law and Justice, and we're going to get you some help on the situation right away.
The American Center for Law and Justice is dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Visit us at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
We want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience and our viewers. Don't forget, we're on the Gulf Coast every single day from Destin, the beautiful sandy beaches of Destin, Florida, all the way to the beautiful historical parts of Mississippi. And over 1.4 million footprint out. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Just the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. So we want to be able to be there with you each day, bring in some light to this interesting times, and we're getting some great feedback from you, and we so love to hear from you. Remember our Facebook, and you can communicate to us. We'd love to receive messages from you and letters, actually positive messages.
Yeah.
Anything negative, just send it to Pat. He's good. He can handle that kind of stuff. It's just amazing what's taking place. But listen to this, the author of The Game Plan, The Game Plan, which is Kevin Freeman. Kevin Freeman talking about, well, this is what we're believing for, is a third great awakening, a third great awakening in America. But this is the key to it. Listen up.
If we lose everything, it's okay, as long as we know who's in charge and that we have each other.
That's right.
And that we know what's important. There's no doubt. Is there any doubt in your mind? If we know that, we win.
We not only win, but if we cry out to God, we repent of our hedonism and everything else, and we invite the Holy Spirit to come and move through this earth. We won't only win, we will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So the question is, are we actually seeing a third intifada, Steve? Is this is this what's happening when Jews are being knifed and run over? And
which is
hacked?
An uprising. Which they talk,
yeah. Intifada means an uprising. Talk to us about what Secretary John Kerry said back in 2013.
He had spoken with a couple Israeli journalists, and when they were talking about the situation regarding Israel, and basically asked them outright and said, Israel doesn't want another intifada. And you would kind of think that of all things to say, of all nations to say that to, that's probably not what you want to say to Israel. And what you'd seen in a previous video is the fact that the third intifada is what we're seeing now. And they had said the first one was in the 80s and the 90s. The second was the 2000, 2004. So it's like you're seeing, and this was back a few years ago. And as a matter of fact, we have a video of that. And it's just like the things that we're seeing now, all of a sudden there is this great just, you know, you're seeing the events that are happening in Israel. This is not normal.
Let's go to it. I want you to hear Secretary John Kerry in his own words, hear him for what he actually said.
The alternative to getting back to the talks is the potential of chaos. I mean, does Israel want a third intifada? I know there's cynicism. I know so many people don't believe anything I just said. I know there are people
from both sides.
Well, from both sides. And I know there are people who've grown used to this, and particularly in Israel. Israel says, oh, we feel safe today. We have the wall. We're not in a day-to-day conflict. We're doing pretty well economically. Well, I've got news for you. Today's status quo will not be tomorrow's or next year's, because if we don't resolve this issue, the Arab world, the Palestinians, neighbors, others, are going to begin again to push in a different
direction. I've got news for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think about that. That's a threat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a threat. You don't negotiate with someone by saying, by the way, if you don't come to the table for a negotiation mm-hmm. here and you don't bring something, you don't want them to come beat you up, do
right.
you? You don't want them to come to your house and start rattling your door,
That's
do
a
you?
Threat.
It is like, did you just say that?
Yeah. And to think about that, this was in August of 2013. And you look at that, one of the last things he said was, there's going to begin again to be a push in a different way. And you're seeing that of all the events we've talked about this, we'll have events and we'll have articles related on the torch for you. You've seen the events. All of a sudden there's this narrative being pushed against Israel in every way, form, and fashion. This is that.
Yeah, absolutely. And now we get a chance to really kind of look a little bit closer and kind of, you know, go underneath the hood and see what's really happening here. Mm-hmm. Because the Secretary of State is set to speak to Abbas, Mahmoud Abbas, the Palestinian president. And I'm interested to know what's going to come out of these talks, because what this administration has been saying is that both sides need to tamp down the violence.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wait a minute, why are we addressing both sides here when there's only one aggressor? When someone defends themselves, they have to do whatever is necessary to defend themselves. And you have to ask yourselves, what would we do as a nation if we mm-hmm. had people that were committing these horrific acts against any people group and started attacking them? You know, we would use whatever
Absolutely.
Force necessary to stop them. And that's what you need to do in times like this. We don't need to be addressing Israel and saying, you need to tamper down the violence. We need to be addressing the aggressor and saying, no matter what, this is not how we resolve issues. You don't go around stabbing people,
mm-hmm.
even if allegedly that's what's being said. It's a lie. It's not even the truth. But I want you to watch this report from CBN as Secretary John Kerry has a meeting with the president of the Palestinian Authority to discuss this wave of terror and attacks against Israelis. Watch this.
A Bedouin terrorist armed with a pistol and a knife attacked Israelis at the central bus station in the southern Israeli city of Beersheba Sunday evening. He stabbed a soldier, took his gun, and went on a shooting rampage, wounding 10 others before being shot and killed himself. The soldier died, and sadly, an Eritrean man also died when he was mistaken for a second terrorist, shot by police and then attacked by a mob. In Jerusalem, Israel began erecting a security wall between the Jewish neighborhood of Armon HaNatziv and the Arab neighborhood of Jabal Mukaber. On Saturday morning, as Israelis were going to synagogue, a 16-year-old from Jabal Mukaber tried to stab a border policeman. He was shot and killed. The attack came 4 days after two terrorists from there shot and stabbed to death two people on a bus and seriously wounded three others. One resident said she had witnessed both attacks in her neighborhood.
First of all, I have nothing against Arab Israelis. I have a lot of friends. I am against those that comes and try to kill me. I was unfortunately witness again of the bus attack, again in my neighborhood, again by Israeli Arabs. And that's our lives.
There were a number of other stabbing attempts and attacks on Saturday, including this one in Hebron, where the terrorist was also killed. Meanwhile, Netanyahu rejected a French proposal to put international observers on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem.
Israel cannot accept the French draft resolution at the United Nations Security Council. It doesn't mention Palestinian incitement, doesn't mention Palestinian terrorism, and it calls for the internationalization of the Temple Mount. Only Israel, Israel alone, is the guarantor of the holy sites on the Temple Mount.
Palestinians say they're fighting to protect the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Israel says there are no changes there. Netanyahu is planning to meet Kerry in Berlin this week. Following that meeting, Kerry will probably meet Abbas in Jordan. Reports say Netanyahu won't offer any concessions to Abbas, but will demand the Palestinians stop their incitement against Israel. Chris Mitchell, CBN.
That's a leader. There are no concessions to make. Mm-hmm. You just need to stop killing people, stop killing Israelis. And there's nothing that's happening on this Al-Aqsa Mosque or this Temple Mount. I had the opportunity some time ago to be in Israel, and I've actually walked on that Temple Mount. And you don't even see any Jews on the Temple Mount. It's reportedly, and that's where the temple was. And And you don't see any Jews there. You don't see any Jews there. And when I was there, I didn't, you know, beginning to hear all this fear of what could possibly happen. But I found that the Israeli security was, they guarantee safety. Mm-hmm. And the people there, they love Americans. I was walking all through Jerusalem, and they love Americans. And I felt very safe. We don't, the Israeli doesn't need another country like France, of all countries, to come in and try to broker any kind of deal. There's no deal to broker. It's very quite simple. You don't attack people. You don't kill people. You don't knife them in the streets. You just don't do it. And this is happening with children. They're teaching children, 13 years old, are going around stabbing other Jewish children. And I know that we've showed you a lot of imagery, and it's on purpose. It's with intentionality, because we want you to actually see with your own eyes. It's impossible for us as believers, because we got to make a clear distinction of what our government's response is from what us as Christians, as believers, how we're supposed to respond to this. Mm-hmm. And it's impossible to have a heart of empathy if it's not something that's even on your grid. And I want to challenge you today, no matter where you're watching VFN TV today, I want to challenge you to have a heart of empathy. And when we get back from this break, we're going to talk more about that, because it's impossible for us to take action in any way, whether it be prayerfully, whether it be financially, whether it be for us to physically get involved and get engaged in any kind of way, without first having a heart that's sensitive to the plight of those that are suffering. Mm-hmm. And that's what God would want from us. He wants us to respond, not to be ignorant, not to look the other way, but to feel with compassion. And we're going to talk more about this, because we have an answer. The answer is Jesus. And the answer is for his church to be mobilized and to stand with Israel in these days and in this hour. When we get right back from this break.
I want to say this, you know, I want to thank all of our VFN TV partners who stand with us.
Yes.
It's amazing how we're standing together to be able to do this. And we have so many things as a thank you for our, you know, your partnership. As you know, we have an entire partnership area, you know, in regards to what's available there. But today, as a matter of fact, this right now we have an offer for our VFN TV partnerships of a free gift for you, for those that partner. Today, it is a weapon of peace. And you think about it. Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. Peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Trust in God. Think about this. That all these things that we're hearing as believers, you know, we can have peace. I mean, you look at this guy right here. I mean, you look at him kicked back and relaxed in the And this is how we should be. This is exactly how we should be. And if we don't have that peace, it's like, I have what the world has, because he gives us this peace. And so I want to encourage you. We have that available for you right now. You can call, you can go online at vfntv.com, as you're seeing right here. You can call, go online at VFNTV.com, a partner now, or you can go till you see the mailing address. You can even mail in your gift, a gift of any size whatsoever. And this gift's available for you in DVD or CD. You request it.
And as a partner,
that is amazing.
You want to get this because you may be able to share this with somebody else. Today, so many people are struggling with anxiety and stresses and fears.
Right.
And there's nothing like the peace of God.
Right.
And you can introduce them to the Prince of Peace. So please get this. Be a part and share it with a friend.
And it's a weapon. You think about it. You know, somebody's breaking into your house. You grab a bat, you grab a gun, you grab something to protect yourself. Well, here we are, and all these things taking place in the world right now. He's left us the weapon of peace. He tells us to have our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Where we're walking and what we're doing, you've got to have this peace. And this is a message that's going to really encourage you. Just want to give it to you for your partnership of any amount. Like I said, go to VFNTV.com. You can call or you can write. And join the many partners that are keeping us going. And we want to keep the light shining all the way around the nation.
That's right.
And around the world.
This is VFNTV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I want to say this, you know, I want to thank all of our VFNTV partners who stand with us.
Yes.
And it's amazing how we're standing together to be able to do this. And, we have so many things as just as a thank you for our, you know, your partnership. As you know, we have an entire partnership area, you know, in regards to what's available there. But today, as a matter of fact, this right now we have an offer for our VFNTV partnerships of a free gift for you for those that partner today. It is a weapon of peace. And you think about it, Jesus said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Trust in God. Think about this, that all these things that we're hearing as believers, you know, we can have peace. I mean, you look at this guy right here. I mean, you look at him kicked back and relaxed in the, and this is how we should be. This is exactly how we should be. And if we don't have that peace, it's like, I have what the world has because he gives us this peace. And so I want to encourage you. We have that available for you right now. You can call. You can go online at VFNTV.com, as you're seeing right here. You can call, go online at VFNTV.com, a partner now, or you can go till you see the mailing address. You can even mail in your gift, a gift of any size whatsoever. And this gift's available for you in DVD or CD. You request it.
And as a partner,
that is amazing.
You want to get this because you may be able to share this with somebody else. Today, so many people are struggling with anxiety and stresses and fears.
Right.
And there's nothing like the peace of God.
Right.
And you can introduce them to the Prince of Peace. So please get this. Be a part and share it with a friend.
And it's a weapon. You think about it. You know, somebody's breaking into your house. You grab a bat, you grab a gun, you grab something to protect yourself. Well, here we are, and all these things taking place in the world right now. He's left us the weapon of peace. He tells us to have our feet fitted with the gospel of peace. Where we're walking and what we're doing, you've got to have this peace. And this is a message that's going to really encourage you. Just want to give it to you for your partnership of any amount. Like I said, go to VFNTV.com. You can call or you can write. And join the many partners that are keeping us going. And we want to keep the light shining all the way around the nation.
That's right.
And around the world.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
So what are we seeing in Israel? We're looking at Israelis being attacked and the world not even caring. They're not even caring. Deadly silence. And what's our response as believers? What do we need to do in order to, you know, be involved, be engaged? One of the things we need to do is awareness. I mean, we have to be able to see. We have to take time to look and experience what in the world, through having a empathy in our hearts, what is going on there? And this is the definition of empathy. It's the ability to understand and share the feelings of another. It's putting yourself in a way in their place and, you know, just experiencing what they're trying to, what they're actually physically experiencing. You're kind of going there, you know, with your emotions, with your thought. You're trying to maybe like relive that experience yourself. And that's pretty difficult for a narcissistic society. I mean, you know, it's pretty difficult. Steve and I were talking during the break that today, with all of this technology that we have available, we are living in a different world. I mean, if you just dial the years back a few, you didn't have mobile phones. I mean, not to the extent. I mean, since really 2008, you had not had a mobile phone that could do so much. I mean, where you can be with apps and all these different things. Well, today, how many people are falling to sleep with their iPhone in their hand? That didn't happen 10 years ago. Forget 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago. It didn't happen 10 years ago, right? How many people are at a traffic light? You stop. What are they having their phone? A phone. They're in a line shopping. They whip out their phone. And so they're self-absorbed, getting all this news, and it's a temptation. You have it there, you pull it out, but no one's really caring anymore. No one really is slowing down to take care of their neighbor. I mean, car alarms are going off, house alarms are going off, and no one's even walking outside their house to find out if my neighbor's in trouble, if a fellow citizen in my community is being hurt. It's a narcissistic point of view, and as believers, we can't live like that. We are the direct representation of Christ. We're walking on the face of this earth. We should be walking with his heart. We're his eyes, his hands, his feet. And we need to be able to take care of people, not just those that are around us, Steve. But in this particular case, the Jewish, you know, people in Israel, the Israelites are being attacked and no one's saying anything. And the first kind of thing is for us to look and to be aware. And as we begin to look, then we start to develop a heart of empathy. And what empathy does, it kind of stirs us to action. You know, no empathy, no compassion. Action. Right, because unless you walk in another person's shoes, you can't really fully understand what it is that they're experiencing, what it is that they're going through, what it's like to be them. And it's so important to try to figure that out. And once we start feeling that pain or that discomfort, that frustration, we can begin to start taking action, whether that's, you know, prayerfully committing ourselves to prayer every day, whether that's financially supporting those that stand with Israel, like VFN TV and so many others, whether that may be you physically getting involved to do something. I know of volunteer organizations right now that will go and help IDF, and they volunteer to help the Israeli Defense Force. That's just one of many things. But you can't get stirred to action if you're not feeling my pain. You know, when you feel my pain, then
you feel me. Yeah.
When you feel me, I know you're hearing me, but do you feel me? Right.
Right. That's a big difference.
Then you begin to do something. No empathy. Then what you have is apathy. And apathy basically is a lack of interest, no enthusiasm, no concern. And right now I'm concerned that we have a lot of apathetic people, believers, that just don't feel anymore.
Yeah.
They're just not concerned, Steve. Yeah. They just don't really care.
Well, when you talk about that, it brings to mind, it's just like when you go through those emotions, it's just like when you see the images of what's happening in Israel right now, it's just like imagine the pain that people are literally, you know, some of the people that are being interviewed, they're on the verge of tears, just realize it's like this is our daily lives. It's like if you're going to empathize with someone, you have to engage yourself in that reality, and it's painful, it's hurtful, and it's like you have to be willing to be vulnerable for someone and say, you know, what you're going through is real, this is not my reality, but I want to support you and just say the fact that this is real. And it's just like it's so real. What you're saying is that we're so distracted by entertainment. There's nothing more dangerous right now than the distraction of entertainment and just the laughing, and I'm not trying to say laughing's bad, but I'm saying if that is totally causing your heart to turn off from the things that are happening, it's like you got to really force yourself to check yourself, to be sober minded and say, God, keep me grounded in love so that I can love people.
Yeah. That's so important. I think about this quote by a Martin Niemöller, I believe that's his name. He's a pastor during the time of Hitler's atrocities. And this is what he's said. He said, first they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. And then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. And then they came for me, and then there was no one left to speak for me. Mm-hmm. Listen, this is where we're at. If you think that you can remain silent, if you think that you can apathetically go through life and not really be invested emotionally in the things that we're supposed to be invested in, listen, there's going to be a time that they're coming for us, you know, first for the Sunday people, then this, you know, first the Saturday people, then the Sunday people, first the Jews, then the Christians. And it's happening and it's on the increase.
Mm-hmm.
It's important for us to stand with our fellow Jewish brothers and sisters, you know, out of a heart of compassion and empathy, because let me tell you, you're going to want to have that same experience reciprocated back to you. I want to pray for you right now. As we just close out this program, Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you are speaking, that you're softening our hearts, yes, and you're bringing awareness to the plight of our brothers in Israel. Father, help us, Lord, not to be apathetic. Help us not to be totally lost and unconcerned with the plight of our Jewish brothers and sisters. But help us, Lord, as believers, to have a soft heart, a heart of compassion that enables us to be involved and engaged and prayerful so that we can help turn the tide, Lord. Yes. We are believing, Lord, for a third great awakening, not just for America, Lord, but a move of God that will sweep the entire world. We ask you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
Chris, isn't abiding, spending time with the Lord, just an awesome thing?
It definitely is. And that, you know, abiding is something that's just totally changed my life. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a point in time that I didn't even think that I could hear from God. I didn't know that I could spend time with God and hear from him. And it's just amazing. And I can't tell you how many times that through abiding that God spoke to me something that morning that I needed that day. That was something that came up that God spoke to me, and to be able to encourage somebody else, or it was to help me through a particular situation that I was, you know, that God knew that I was going to run into that day.
It's like a chain link event where God gives you a rhema word for that, a living, active, breathing word that it blesses you.
Exactly.
But it blesses another person. Yes. Another person is living. And
oh yeah. Yes. And it's just, you know, it just continues. It just keeps going and going, you know.
It's exciting, isn't
it? It's very exciting.
We can do this for the rest of our lives.
Yes, the rest of our lives. And it's just, you know, to be able to commune with the creator of the universe.
Awesome.
You know, and he speaks to you, and he speaks to you clearly.
Right.
And he speaks to you the way that you hear.
Right.
You know, because, you know, we don't all hear the same way, but right. But God knows, you know, how to speak to us. And,
right.
And it's just awesome. It's just, it's powerful. You know, it's life-changing.
Yeah. When you abide with the Lord, like he talks about in John 15, you know, apart from abiding in him, we can accomplish nothing. When we do that at the beginning of our day, the day is nothing but amen instead of oh no.
Mm-hmm.
Because God's already spoken to us about our day. Maybe you're thinking, yeah, I want that life. I want to be able to abide with God. Listen, we have a simple plan available for you right now. It's free. All you have to do is go to iabide.org. That's iabide.org and request your free plan today. Listen. You're called, and by the way, you can't do anything outside of abiding with the Lord. That's iabide.org.